So good morning again, and thanks for being here today. This is, I mentioned earlier, it's been kind of a tough week. Started out good and didn't end as well as a lot of us would have liked. We lost one of our dearest and most faithful and committed members this week. And if you don't know, if you're not aware, Kara Myers passed away on Thursday evening, and so that has been just devastating for a lot of us. If you knew Kara, you loved her, and if you didn't, I promise she loved you. And so she will be missed. She will certainly leave a place in her family, a hole that just can't be filled, and I'm just honest. I don't know that anybody will fill her role here like she did. She was just a faithful person, and she loved you no matter what. And so we're going to talk about that. I told Terry and Debbie, who are here today, and I told them, I said, listen, I'm not changing what I'm preaching, because what I was going to preach is what Kara lived out. And so it I might even preach a little bit harder today because of that. And so I just want us to take a moment and pray for their family, and just for them to be encouraged and strengthened. They are. It's been pretty awesome to be around them, because they, if you didn't know Kara, she had some things that, about some physical things about her that she shouldn't have lived this long. And she overcame those and fought through those and lived way longer than anybody ever thought she would. And so they were prepared for it. And here's the greatest part. She was prepared for it. And so no doubt where she's at today, and she's where I think all of us long to be. And so can we just pray for them right now? God, we just come before you. And God, we... God, there's been times where I've been excited because of where I know Kara is, and there's times where I've just been just heartbroken because of the impact that she had in my life and in my family's life. And so, God, I know that her family feels the same way. And so, God, today we come just seeking your strength. We come seeking your peace and your comfort for this family, God. We pray that you would just bless them as they continue to work through the motions of this and the emotions of this. And God, I pray that you would just continue to use Kara, her story, her life, her example, and just so much about her, God, to just continue to point people to you. I pray that you would continue to do that through her family as they share stories about her and just things that some of us had never heard and get to know her even better. God, I pray that you would just continue to provide for them in every way. And so, God, I pray your peace today on this family, and I pray that your strength would be felt and would be evident, and not only to them, but to those that will come around them. So bless them today, God. Use us as their church family, however you need to minister to them, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. So one thing that they have asked is, instead of flowers or anything, that you would just bless them with gift cards for food, for Aldi's, Food Line. They are, you know, they're like me, they love Aldi's, and so, and Food Line is their other choice, and then restaurants, fast food is fine with them, they said, but there's going to be a collection site out here at the Resource Center. Helen Irving, I think, is going to be manning that. And so if you want to do that today, if you have it already, that's fine. But if not, just know that next week we'll be collecting them as well for them, and you can just bless them as you feel led to. So that's a great way to be able to do that. If you do feel led to do food for them, they've kind of asked not, because it just gets overwhelming. But if that is the case and that's just how you feel like you need to do it, then if you would contact Brian Irvin. He is kind of heading that up and organizing that side of it for us. And if you don't know how to get in touch with him, then you can just get in touch with me. So, but if you're on Facebook, you can get in touch with him through Helen. So anyway, so here's the deal. Some of you are going to hear my message today, and you're going to say, "Man, he is jumping on the hype. He's jumping in where with all this stuff going on, and he is going to talk about racism and races and all of that stuff because that's what's in the news. And pastors like to just talk about what's in the news." Well, let me just tell you that this series and this message has been planned for this day since January. All right, it's been on my books. I knew when I took a time off that I was coming back and I was going to talk about one of the most difficult things in our society. And I said, you know what, I better take a vacation. But no, I said, no, that's the way God's planned it. That's the way we're going to do it. And so I know that this is a topic today that will strike a lot of us in a lot of different ways. In fact, some of you have already said, you know what, I don't really want to hear this. Well, that's fine. You don't have to listen, whatever. But here's the thing. I'm not going to give you my opinion, and I really don't care about your opinion. That's a great way to start a message, isn't it? Some of you are like, man, he took too long off. I don't. But I do care about the opinion of the one whose opinion matters the most, the one that created all of us. And so today we're gonna learn from him. And I know some of us have some things stuck in us and that have been ingrained in us since we can remember. And I get that. But my prayer is today that I believe there was something ingrained in you long before that, something that God put in you that we got to talk about, and we've got to be able to bring out so that we can get past this stuff. Will it ever be resolved? I really don't think so. Not until Jesus comes back. But I believe we can make it better, and that my circle of influence and your circle of influence can certainly be made better. And that's what I hope we leave here today. We leave here thinking about that and really allowing God to do some things in us. But I want us to just start by acknowledging that for me personally, I have a very limited experience in racism as far as being a target of. Now, I'm going to tell you some stories, and I have been targeted for it, but I kind of got to do this from a limited perspective because a white male, white middle-aged male is not exactly the target of a lot of racism. I know there's all kinds of opinions, but just to be honest, I don't have to worry about it a whole lot. And so I kind of come with that perspective, and I think as I look around the room, I think a lot of us are pretty limited in it too. Now, we've watched CNN, and so we think we know and all of that, and we've experienced stuff, but the truth is we probably, most of us, don't know. All right, so I just want us to be open about that, and let's begin to dig down into it and just see what God wants to say to us. And so I want to open up with a text that is an encounter between Jesus and another guy, and this is a pretty interesting thing where Jesus begins to set the stage, I believe, for what we're dealing with today. I believe that here's the thing I think we're going to find is that when we really look at the scripture, it's pretty black and white, no pun intended, okay? It's pretty solid and straightforward about what God thinks about racism. And so Jesus is talking to this guy, and there's this time that they're there, and he's trying to trick Jesus. He's trying to get him in trouble. He's trying to make him say something that he can hold against him. And so he asks him this question of what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, being Jesus, answered a question with a question, because he always did that. He says, well, what do you think it is? And the guy says, well, it's to love God and love others as myself. And Jesus said, that's right. So go do it. Okay, that was pretty simple. But then the guy, because he had all other motives in this, he has to go a little bit further and ask this question in Luke chapter 10, verse 29. He says, the man wanting to justify his actions. Right? Don't we see a lot of justification of actions Not. I mean, on all sides of this thing, there's lots of justifications of actions. But so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And so he says, I get I'm supposed to love people as myself, but which people do I have to love as myself? That's kind of what he was asking. And so, you know, do I just have to love the people that look like me? Do I just have to love the people that listen to the music that I listen to? Do I have to just, you know, love the people that live in my neighborhood and all of those things? Do I just have to, is there just a limited amount? And he's really kind of opening this door, trying to hold people, you know, hold himself out of being responsible for some things that are going on. And so he's really asking, I think, a lot of the questions that we ask. And where we get to, he said, you know, do I have to love people that have the same education I have? Do I have to love people, you know, because they, you know, they look the same as me? Do I have to, you know, do all the things that, you know, just because we're the same? And I think we're going to see that it's going to be pretty interesting. One of the things we often do is, you know, we see there's a lot of judgments that go around, and we look at people and we say, man, do I really have to love the people that have those tattoos? You know? Oh, tattoos. Oh, you know? You know, what about that nose ring? Do I have to love the one with the nose ring? Do I have to love the one with the big holes in their ears? Do I have to love the ones that, you know, that wear those baggy pants and that are torn all up? Do I have to love them? I mean, let's just be honest. If you're worried about loving somebody because they have a piercing, hey, not everybody has piercings you can see. So you better be careful that you hold a level against somebody just because that, because you may not know it and you may be loving somebody that does. I mean, I'm just being real here. Someone might have a tattoo somewhere where you can't see it, but they got a tattoo. So we gotta get beyond some of this stuff. We got to move on beyond it and begin to just see people the way that Jesus wanted us to see them. Jesus, you know, do I have to love someone who's a different color skin than me? Do I have to love somebody that doesn't have the same language as me? Do I have to? It goes on and on and on. The questions that we could ask, but we need to get down to this: who is my neighbor? And when this guy asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" I love the way that Jesus didn't answer, who's my neighbor? He began to show how to be a neighbor. Because then he went and he told a story right after that really begins to not decide who's the neighbor, but to how to be a neighbor and how to do it. And so it's a very interesting story. There's a Jewish guy walking along a road, and these guys jump out and they just beat the snot out of him, okay? They just beat him up and leave him bloodied in the road. He, you know, he's out. And along then comes some people. The first one is another Jewish guy. It's actually a priest. I mean, you can't expect a pastor to do the right thing, can you? He'd get his suit dirty. I mean, come on. That's supposed to be funny. Come on, y'all. But no, so the priest comes along. He looks over at the guy, you know, laying in the road. And what does he do? He keeps on going, right? He goes straight. Then along comes another guy who's also another Jewish guy. He's a Levite. He's a worship leader. Don't expect nothing from a worship leader, y'all. No. Austin's going to be mad at me for saying that. But no. So here comes the Jewish worship leader. He looks over at the guy laying there and all bloodied up and laying in the road. And what does he do? He walks on by. He totally leaves him over there. So then along comes this other guy. This guy that really, if the Jewish guy knew that this guy was going to be the one, he probably would have got up and crawled somewhere to try to avoid it. Because this was a Samaritan. The Samaritans, you need to understand, were hated by the Jews. And they hated the Jews. See, isn't that how we do it? If somebody hates me, well, I'll just hate them back. I don't know why. Because they hate me, I'll just hate them back, and we just won't get along, right? Isn't that how it kind of works? I mean, we don't even really know why we hate some people. We just do because they hate us. And so here's this guy, he's laying there, and along comes this Samaritan. It says in Luke 10, verse 33 and 34, than a despised Samaritan. I think Jesus is kind of jabbing a little bit deeper on this one, because this is the guy you're supposed to hate, comes along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to the inn where he took care of him. See, the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other so much because the Jews hated, it kind of started with them, because the Samaritans were, they were considered half-breeds. They were Jewish, they came from Jewish people who were left behind when the Israelites were exiled, and they ended up mixing with people of other races, and so they were half-breeds. And so they didn't want anything to do with them. They hated them for that, even though they were kind of half them. But they still hated them because they didn't keep things pure. And so this thing would have been, like, they would have been two guys that would have broke down in the middle of the road and fought each other because they just didn't like each other. But here's the Jewish man laying there, can't take care of himself, and the Samaritan, after the Jewish guy's other friends have already passed by, comes over and cares for him and takes care, not just this, but he took him to an inn and he said, listen, he gave the innkeeper some money. He said, here, take care of him, and if it costs more, then when I come back through, I'll pay you the rest. I mean, he didn't just do the simple, he went on beyond it for somebody who wasn't like him, who didn't believe like him, who didn't look like him, and was supposed to hate him. He was willing to do that. So what did he do? Instead of walking, you know, this way, he walked that way. He went over and he took care of him, and he broke down this invisible wall that was between them, and he went over there and he ministered to him. I love the way that Dr. Martin Luther King said this. I know that's going to, like, tear some of you up because I'm quoting him, but here's the thing. Here's the reality of that. Martin Luther King said, here's the difference in that picture, was that the Jewish guys walked by him and they said, what will happen to me if I go help him? Because see, the robbers could have been waiting, there could have been, but they were worried about what would happen to them if they went over there and did it. But Dr. Martin Luther King makes the point, though, that the Samaritan reversed the question and said, what will happen to him if I don't go over there? And I think a lot of us need to begin to ask the question, what will happen to other people if we don't just get over this and begin to just love each other? I mean, it's going to tear us apart. And we got to be willing to think about that and look at it in a different perspective. Some of us have grown up looking at it through one set of goggles all of our lives, and I got to be honest, it's time to take them off. If we're going to be the Christians, the followers of Jesus that the Bible tells me I'm supposed to be, then I got to get over it. I got to get over all those things. I got to begin to love my neighbor as myself. And I love myself. So I better love my neighbor pretty good, okay? I'm just being honest with you. And if you're honest, you love yourself a whole lot too, I'm sure. So here's the thing. Dennis Leary, the comedian, says this about racism. He said, racism isn't born. It's taught. It's not born. It's not inherited. There is no racist gene. It's not born. It's taught. He says, I have a 2-year-old. You know what he hates? He hates naps. Think about it. If you're a parent and you have a 2-year-old, you know they hate naps. They hate not getting their way. But they don't hate somebody else because they don't look like them. In fact, they're usually a great example of what it should be, because they'll just run up and hug a child of a different color or whatever and not even think twice about it. But it's there, and that's how we find our society. I'm just being real about it. And so why is it that people become racist over time? Why is it that people begin to hate other people that are different than them? Well, I think there's some reasons that happens. Maybe they're a victim of hatred. Maybe you've been, there's a real reason that, because there's been a problem between you and somebody of a different race. And I get that. I'm going to tell you stories in a second, but that can happen. And maybe that's where you have developed that from. The second thing is, maybe that's what you were taught. That's what your mom and dad taught you, and that's the, you know, your uncles and all that. She just grew up in it. And that, I get that. I know people like that, and I've seen that and been around. I get it. And the other one sometimes, here's the truth of it. Sometimes people become racist over time just out of ignorance. Because they don't know what other people really like. They've never been around them, never had interaction with them, and they just don't know. And it's not that they're, I'm not calling them dumb, I'm just saying that they're ignorant to what other people are like because they've just never spent that time. And so it just develops. But here's the thing, here's a point that you need to understand, that racism isn't a skin issue. Racism is a sin issue. When we hate other people for any reason, the Bible calls that sin, and we need to understand that. It's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. James 2, verse 9 says this, "But if you favor some people over others, you're committing a sin." I mean, that's pretty straight up. I don't know how else I could say that more pointed. You're committing a sin. You're guilty of breaking the law. And in fact, some versions will say breaking the whole law. That if you hold hatred against somebody for any reason, that you might as well just break them all because that's what you're doing. You could do all the other things right, but if that's there, then that's a big deal. And so we need to understand that the Bible is very clear on what we do. You know, we often say, "I like you because you look like me. My kids can play with you because you look like me and they look like me. You know, you hang out with me because we listen to the same music. We're the same." We often find ourselves in this vacuum of, well, we'll just do everything together because we're the same. But you know what? Here's what I know. If I go around the room, man, we're all the same color for the most part, I think, but we probably all like a lot of different things. Country music fans, come on now. Yep. They ain't on my radio. Rap fans, yep, it's on my radio. Hard rock, yep. A little southern rock, yeah. Freebird. Oh, anyway, all right, so see, we all like different things. And some of you wouldn't sit in the room and listen to some of that other mess. And it's just the way it is. But we're all together, and I don't see anybody in here that I don't like. And I mean, you might not like me, but I like you. And you know, but sometimes there's other factors that come in, and we let them become an issue in this. And listen, man, this isn't a USA issue. This is a sin issue from way back when, and there's a lot of reasons that may even play into that, but the truth is that when we hold and we treat somebody different, whether it's we treat them better or less than somebody else, the Bible says that we've sinned. And we need to be able to look at that and call it what it is and just begin to understand it. So the question comes down, if we're talking about how do we neighbor people that don't look like us, and how do we neighbor people that have all kinds of differences than us? How do we neighbor those different from ourselves? Here's the first thing. Number one, we need to recognize our prejudices. Man, let's be honest about it. If you don't like black people, just say you don't like black people, okay? I mean, be honest about it. But then you need to understand that when you begin to hate somebody because they are a different color, then refer back to the last answer, and that's a sin. And so we got to be true, but the first thing is that we recognize our prejudices. Sometimes, you know what, we look at people and we say, man, I don't like them because of that, or we look at them and we judge them about something. We say, man, if somebody's overweight, they must be lazy, right? I know a lot of skinny, lazy people, all right? I happen to say pretty active, but I'm really busy. I'm not lazy. I get up and go to the refrigerator. That's what I say, you know what I mean? I don't miss out on no meals. I ain't lazy. We look at people, different that are different than us. You know, millennials. Man, millennials, y'all are messed up. No, that's what we keep telling you. We keep saying they are, but you know, and then we call them lazy. And I'm like, no, I know a lot of old people that are lazy, you know. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Those things aren't who you are and don't have to define you, and we don't have to define other people by that. That's the big problem. is we're looking at other people and we see them in a certain way and we say, that must be them. And we don't even know them. We've got to be able to get beyond it. We're not going to jive with everybody. There's some people that aren't going to be receptive to it. And that's not our problem. It's what we do as far as loving. It doesn't say that our neighbor has to love us as we love them. I mean, that would be cool, and that's the golden rule. But the truth is, it just says love your neighbor as yourself. And I think, let me just tell you this. I think if we really do number one, number two is really easy. And that's if we love God for who he is and what he wants us to be and how he's created us, then we'll do the other. But that, yeah, prejudice, what is it? It's a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. We are prejudiced against things that we don't even know why we're prejudiced against them. We talked about that. It just happens. Most of us have the courage to be honest. I think we admit that we're most likely raised with some type of prejudice. It just, you know, whether you're prejudiced against rich people or you're prejudiced against, you know, African Americans or you're prejudiced against Mexicans or you're prejudiced against people who drive really cool cars or whatever. But we have this natural tendency to look at people that way and form an opinion. But prejudice is one of those things that often has no real basis. It just is what it is. And so in that, then I think if that's the way we understand it and look at it, and recognize it, we can begin to overcome those things. If we've ever said this statement, listen, if you've ever said, I'm not racist, but, let me tell you, if there's anything that follows that but, you're a racist. I'm being honest with you. That's by the definition. I mean, there's been times in my life where I've said that. I'm telling you, I get it. So I'm not liking you because I know I've been there and said the same things. But the truth is that once we start putting a condition on anything, then we might as well take it out because that's what happens. We find ourselves there. For instance, anybody flown since 9/11? Yep. So when you got on your plane, you're sitting there and the Middle Eastern guy walked on, you didn't start squirming in your seat a little bit. I'm just telling you, there was a dude sat in front of me on a flight. I was on him. I had made up my mind he ain't getting up and getting a foot away. I ain't going there. I'm seriously, it was crazy. You know, now I'm a little bit more relaxed, but you know what? I believe now, if you really read the news, we got to look out for people to look just like us. Because they're just as nuts and radical as some of the others. I'm not trying to create terror. I'm just saying, listen, don't just hate somebody because of how they look. We've got to be able to go beyond that. It takes courage for us to be honest about it. It's easy to just leave things the way they are and avoid the issue, but we got to be courageous and begin to just stand up and say, you know, that's the deal. Listen, we're in Albemarle, North Carolina, Stanley County. Man, good old boys, I know some y'all are just good old boys in this room. I get it. I'm a good old boy from Rowan County. I went to school with almost predominantly black school. We were I think 51-49 at the time. And so I played football with all my friends and I used to have like this, Dad, what year was that Dodge pickup truck? No, the Dodge, the 76. So I had a 76 Dodge pickup long bed, Carolina blue, big bench seat. I would leave football practice, and that thing had I don't know how many people hanging out the back of it. And if you're familiar with Salisbury, there's a street called Long Street, and all the, you know, it's a predominantly black neighborhood. And I'd go down, and they'd pat the truck. I'd stop, and two or three would hop off. I'd go on down, and two, they'd hop, And that's the way it did. I mean, we hung out together. We did a lot together. But here's the thing. I remember being with them one night at a restaurant. We had gone to Godfather's Pizza. I don't know if y'all remember Godfather's. They used to about throw us out of there because we'd come in. It was buffet. And, you know, I can eat a buffet now. And so all these fellas were with me. And I remember hearing the comment of somebody calling me. You know, I've never been called the N-word before because That doesn't apply, right, by our definition. But I have been called the inward lover. Okay? So, like, I used to not think much about that until the first time I heard that, and that they were referring to me, because I was the only one in the middle. I'm sure the rest of them loved them, but they were referring to me. Now, I don't know about you, but that was an eye-opening experience. It was an eye-closing experience for the one that said it. Y'all get that later. Because, yeah, at that point, we went out in the parking lot. But let me just tell you, that was before Christ, okay? Before. Anyway, but man, it dug deep. And it still does, to think that they just judged me on that because of who I was hanging out with. Some of you have been labeled certain things because you hang out with people. I know. But listen, we got to come to a place and be able to recognize our prejudice against people so that we can begin to be healed of those and let God do something with that in us. The second thing is this. We've got to seek to understand others. We have to seek to understand others. We don't know people because we've not spent time with people. We have judged people based on what we have seen in movies or on TV or whatever. And listen, I get it. There's broad spectrums and some of that's just ingrained in us, but I'm talking about your circle. What can you do in your circle that allows us to be able to get beyond it? We have a very limited perspective in our world, but we got to begin to understand the others. You know, I've been able to talk to some people in different nationalities and races and different things. And, you know, I heard a pastor tell a story one time. He was Hispanic. He just moved into a new town, and he was out mowing his yard for the first time, and another guy from the neighborhood stopped by and said, "Hey, man, how much do you charge to mow yards?" He automatically assumed that this guy was the lawn care guy, not somebody that was living there, but because he was Hispanic on a mower out in the yard, he just assumed that's why he was there. He didn't understand that the guy, you know, was a pretty smart guy. He was, you know, college educated and all of that. And he just out there doing it. But we got to be able to understand people. We need to spend some time with people that don't look like us and don't, you know, talk like us and don't smell like us and all that stuff, to be able to understand who they are and where they're coming from. Man, I don't know if you've ever hung out with a homeless person and began to ask them kind of their story and let them tell you what got them there. It's often pretty interesting. It's pretty amazing what they've gone through and survived to be able to be there and what's caused that. And so sometimes we have a prejudice against people just because we don't understand. So we gotta seek to understand. We gotta spend some time together and just begin to grow in our love of our neighbor. It's how to neighbor, y'all. It's being involved with people. How do we do that as Jesus followers? Man, if we're gonna help people, we gotta recognize our prejudice, we gotta seek to understand. And then thirdly, we gotta love those different from you. Love those different than you. Listen, Kara Myers was a person that there wasn't anybody that ever walked in the doors of this building that she didn't, you could tell that she loved them. I was sitting with, I hope y'all don't mind me sharing this, Debbie, but this just, it has just been stirring in me since you told me this story yesterday. And so there was a young man that came to church here who is extremely tatted up. Some of you will know who I'm talking about, whatever, that's fine. But extremely tatted, even neck, face, just extreme. If you ever spend time, you will know that he is one of the most awesome guys. All right, I love hanging out with him. But when the first time that Kara met him, she didn't know who he was. She didn't know who his family was. She didn't really know anything about him. And so she went up to him and just introduced herself and just welcomed him and all that. The next time, I think maybe she went home the next time and said, he came one more time, and then the next time she said, you know, I need to make cookies for that young man because he just needs to know that somebody loves him. She didn't know who he was. She just knew that he needed somebody to, and he needed to know that somebody loved him. And so the next time he came, she had a bag of cookies for him and went and gave them to him. And then she politely explained that, hey, I just need you to know I'm not trying to come on to you. I just want you to know I love you. You know, I'm not trying to win you over with my cookies. And if you know Kara, I could hear her saying it when they were telling me that story. And I hope I told it right, but it's that's the gist of it, okay? And it was because she wanted to make sure that somebody that didn't necessarily look like her or think like her, hang out where she hangs out or whatever, she just didn't want him to feel unloved in this place. And I got to tell you that if we could all get that, if we could all get that, man, we couldn't seat all the people in here that kept coming back because they just want to feel loved. Forget that they need to hear the gospel and be, you know, have change in their life. Forget that mess. They just need to know they're loved. Because if they don't know they're loved, then they're never going to be open to what God wants for them because He is love. And if they don't know what love feels like and looks like, then they're never going to be receptive of it. And I think we do a pretty good job, so don't take that as a knock. I'm just telling you that by the standard that Kara Meyer set in this place, some of us got to get busy. I got to get busy. And we got to love others. Love people. Don't just automatically assume that because somebody doesn't look like you or whatever, that they aren't somebody that you would enjoy hanging out with. I still keep up with a lot of my friends that we went through a lot of things together. Let me just tell you this. I'll tell you this story real quick. There was a bunch of brothers. There was like four or five of them. And they hung out together. And so one of them just didn't like me. I don't know why. How can you not like me? But anyway, just didn't like me. And so there was just always this animosity at school. All right. So one day he decided it was time. And so he came, called me in my locker, and it was time. We were getting ready to fight, right? And his brothers came up behind him. And I was outnumbered at that point. But all of a sudden, I saw this arm come over my shoulder, this big black arm come over my shoulder and grab him and yank him up in the air. And it was my best friend, his name's Kevin Spears. And Kevin was, I don't know, 6'4 and 225 and just an incredible athlete. But he grabbed that little boy and jerked him up and I thought, well, it's surely on now. But what I realized was, is behind me, there wasn't a white guy behind me, but there was four black guys behind me ready to defend me. Now, I'm just telling you, the color thing doesn't matter, but those guys didn't care if I was white or black. I didn't care at that point either because I just didn't want to get tore up. But the truth is that, man, when we just get stuff like that out of the way, y'all gonna think I fight all the time. That wasn't me, I promise. But if we can get that stuff out of the way, we can begin to love people and be loved. We can accept the love. There's people that don't look like us that need to be in our lives because they're gonna enrich it and add to it. And we're missing out because we've chosen to not love them for who they are. Let me introduce you to a very incredible person. Her name is Keisha Thomas. In 1996, there was a rally in Michigan. It was a KKK rally, and much like that had happened this past week, they were there rallying, and there were some other demonstrators coming. The police had already heard what was going on, so they had already put barriers down the middle to try to keep them apart. But there was one guy who had snuck through the barrier, made it into the protesters of the KKK, and he was a neo-Nazi, all the tattoos and all of that. He got into the crowd, they realized it, and they began to beat him and beat him and beat him, much like we just saw. But here's what happened. Keisha Thomas said, nope, not going to happen. And Keisha, who is African-American, laid down on top of him to protect him so they would stop beating him. She was willing to give up herself to protect a guy who clearly didn't didn't love her, didn't want to be around her, didn't want anything to do with her, but she was willing to go beyond that. And now maybe some of us aren't going to be called to lay down on top of somebody else to protect them physically. But I really can't believe that all of us are going to have an opportunity to lay ourselves down on top of somebody in some fashion when somebody begins to talk about somebody else because they're a color, or begins to talk about somebody because of whatever their difference is, that we can then begin to not, at least not partake in it, but then also maybe it's just time that we say, you know what, man, you don't need to say that. We don't need to think like that because we don't know them. If I go by my Bible, right, if I look at what the Bible says, not what, this isn't Ron's opinion, I told you I don't care about your opinion. You don't have to care about my opinion. But we do have to care about the truth of what the Creator God has said about it. He said if we treat somebody differently than we are, for whatever reason, that is sin. And for some of us today, I think we probably are at a place where we need to be able to confess some things. Maybe we just need to be honest about our prejudice and begin to, think, maybe I just need to be understanding of somebody. Maybe I need to get to know somebody better so I can understand them better. And I think in the room, I think all of us can certainly love people better, especially those who don't look like us. Today, I want to challenge you. Listen, racism isn't just the presence of hatred. You don't have to be hating on somebody. You don't have to be in a group of people protesting all of that to experience that and to project that. See, it's not just the presence of hatred, but it's the absence of love. And when we don't love somebody just because of what they look like or whatever, we become guilty of racism. The Bible is very clear in Galatians 3, verse 28, says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Are we to say that we're going to get to heaven and it's going to look like the Sunday mornings on earth and, the black folk are over here and the white folk over there? Nope. Nope, we're all going to be singing together. And I hope we sing to their rhythm and not ours. I'm just saying. Revelation 7:9 says this, after I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. It's not about what color you are when you get there. It's not, salvation isn't for a select few. Salvation is for everyone. In fact, that's what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on Him. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not everyone that's white, not everyone that's black, not everyone that's Mexican or whatever, not everybody that's whatever we like to divide people up into. It's the everyone. Jesus died on the cross and shed His red blood on the cross for every person who would ever live, so that we would have the opportunity to confess our sins, accept Him as Lord and Savior, and be saved. Bottom line. In fact, it's going to really wreck some of you, but Jesus wasn't white, okay? He wouldn't check the Caucasian box on any application. But He shed His red blood on the thing for your and my red blood. It's the honest truth of it. And He didn't just stay dead. Listen, they took Him off the cross, they buried Him, and on the third day, God raised Him from the dead so that everyone who believes would not only be saved and forgiven of their sins for all eternity, but they would also live with Him for all eternity. And so when we all get to heaven, I should have sung that, shouldn't I? Anyway, some of y'all older people will get that. But when we all get to heaven, listen, we're going to be together, and it's going to be awesome, cause He's going to be there, and we're not going to be worried about who's what in the bunch. And so today, I'm not asking you to, I'm not asking you to make a decision at this moment. I'd love for you to, but listen, it's taking a while for you to get there. It may take a while for you to get away from there. But I want you to know that this is what the Bible says about where we sit in our nation right now. So when it all comes down to it, it's not about what CNN says. It's not about what Fox News says. It is what the Bible says, and that's how we're to live our lives on a day-to-day basis right where we are. So you're going to go back to school in just in a few days if you're not already back in school, and man, you're going to have that question. It's going to be right in front of some of you, and you're going to have to decide, am I going to treat them different because of what color they are, or am I just going to love them the way that God loves me? Some of you are going to go work tomorrow, and you're going to be faced with that same person that you may even have been calling a name. May have been calling you a name. You're going to decide, am I going to love them the way that I love myself, or am I just going to stay where I'm at? And so today, my prayer is that we'll begin to look at others differently. Not because of the color of their skin, but just we'll begin to look at them differently because we need to love them like ourselves. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. God, this is... Even as clear as it is in the scripture, God, it's difficult to preach a message that I know goes against what some of us have just been born and raised in hearing. And God, that's just where we find ourselves. And so God, today I just ask that you would speak clearly to our hearts and help us as we grow through what it is that you want us to grow through. God, that we would not stay where we are, but that we would become more like you. And if that's the case, then we're truly going to love each other the way that we love ourselves, and we're going to love you most of all. So God, I pray in these moments as they sing, I just ask that you would clearly move in our lives. And God, maybe we need to come confess our prejudice. Maybe we need to come and just lay that before you. Listen, I think we're all guilty of that in some way. And so, God, I just pray whatever it is that we would be willing to just let you have it. God, I thank you that you love me the way you do and that you don't love me differently because of my sin. You don't love me different because before I knew you, God, I was against you. God, I love you and I thank you. You didn't hold that against me, and so, God, I can't hold anything against anyone else. So, God, just move freely in this place today. May this be a defining moment in lives. Maybe this is a defining moment for our community, that we're just able to give this over to you and live out what you've called us to. God, if there's someone in the room who doesn't know you as a Savior that needs to accept the forgiveness that you offer, that forgiveness that you died for, to be able to give to us. I pray in this moment that they would receive it. To just acknowledge that you're God's Son, that you came and lived a sinless life, that you gave your life on a cross to pay the price for our sins, and that you were buried and raised again on the third day so that we could have eternal life. God, I pray that you would just move in hearts and lives today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.